Hi, this is Glory with Successful Marketing Group. I need your help. This is the 5th annual Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive, and because of COVID, we have to do things differently. We won't be taking clothing donations, which made up over half of all the items we delivered last year. So now we need more financial donations, and I've got a couple of fun ways you can help with that. Right now, I'm looking for any business that would like to donate just $1,000. Rudy Luther Toyota has already stepped forward for the second year in a row. Cheryl and Jim are still going to be a big part of this, and so is our friend Jana Shortle. We need your help. Each night, there are 6,000 homeless youth in Minnesota. COVID has increased that number and drastically decreased the number of shelter options. If you want to be a sponsor, please email me at glory@successfulmarketinggroup.com. Donations go through our 501c3 partner, United Way Arise Project. Thank you so much.
We're not going to do this on a lot of shows across the network, but I think it fits on this one. I do want to do something of a Thanksgiving theme show with Cheryl Reeve here on the Cheryl Reeve Show. There are a lot, when I think of being thankful, there are a lot of athletes, a lot of strong women who I'm very thankful for, Cheryl being one of them. I also want to ask Cheryl what she's thankful for these times. I'll start it off here. I'm very thankful that my wife, who is a principal at an elementary school in a region of the state that is really getting ravaged by the virus, has not gotten it yet. I'm kind of shocked, but pleasantly surprised she hasn't. So I'm, you know, and as far as I know, the people across this network have been able to stay healthy. That's a good place for me to start with my thankfulness. I'll ask Cheryl what she's thinking about these days. Do you want to reintroduce the show? This is the Cheryl Reeve Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they're released. If you'd like to advertise with this show or the network, which continues to grow, you can reach Karen Cleary, Kclearry, at talknorth.com. Best way to listen, subscribe to this show or the network at your favorite podcast app. And I'll also say I'm very thankful for our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. He was the first person I started working with when I started this up however long ago, and he's still with us. Very thankful for the work he does, his flexibility, his ability to keep this network running, even as we grow it and keep adding outdoor shows and hockey shows and everything else. So Cheryl, I'll leave it to you. What are you thinking right now? As we're talking here on Tuesday, late morning, 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Well, I tell you, my list is really long of things
okay.
that I need to be thankful for, that I am thankful for. But I think front and center, you know, I echo your thoughts on your wife, Stacy, that, you know, really, really thankful, number one, for the teachers that are trying to keep it moving for not only young kids like mine, you know, the kindergartners, you know, but all the way through high school, which I would imagine are the biggest challenges. So thankful for the sacrifices, not only the frontline, you know, the workers in the hospital, but I think teachers are right up there for me. Really, really thankful that not only my immediate family, my wife and Oliver, but also my mom, you know, who's 81 in New Jersey, and my brothers have been able to remain healthy, because as you said, it's you look at the numbers, you know, one in, you know, I have a friend in Colorado, in Boulder, I think that's one in 49 people have COVID, and so I don't know exactly what our numbers are here, but very, very, very thankful. And you know, just reminders, because you get a scare here and there, because the common cold, you know, is no longer a common cold. You know, you worry, you know, that it's something more. So, just really thankful for overall good health for you know, my closest inner circle. But I too am thankful for Brandon. And for you, Jim, you know, I think about your, you know, your vision for us getting together to do a podcast, and we're more than 120 shows, I think it is, into this thing. And
wow.
So I appreciate your vision and how much I've really enjoyed being a part of this. And I think people have enjoyed you and the way you've evolved your Talk North podcast network. I'm grateful for you and for Brandon to be a part of this, and the ways in which you amplify the things that are really important to me personally, as well as I think those that are listening and subscribing.
Well, one of the things I'm really looking forward to is getting back, you know, where our country is healthy, our economy is healthy, and we can start doing live shows again, because I really, you know, of all the shows we've done live across the network, my favorites have been your show, meeting really great people and, you know, good-hearted people. I really miss that, you know, and I'm not really the most social person. So, I mean, you know, in some ways quarantining, you know, doesn't affect me as much as it affects a lot of other people. I don't mind sitting home with my dogs and listening to music, you know, but I do miss being out in that venue, you know, sitting next to you, having some great guests and getting to meet, you know, so many of your fans. I really miss that a lot. And I'll segue into something else I'm very thankful for, and that is strong activist athletes and people in sports in general. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I read a lot about what's going on in the country, you know, how we handle our finances as a country, who gets breaks, who doesn't. And, you know, rich athletes get ripped on quite frequently because they make a lot of money. But, you know, you think about, you know, Amazon and some of the biggest corporations in our country, they get out of paying taxes. They get tax breaks. They get, you know, they get rewarded for doing business in a certain state. Then you think about people like LeBron James. Hey, man makes a lot of money. And I hope we get to a point where female athletes, you know, are much closer to being on par with that. But go back to LeBron though. He makes a lot of money. He also pays about a 50% tax rate, and he still takes money out of his own pocket to do incredible initiatives, you know, whether it's benefiting, you know, homeless people or hungry people or you know, underprivileged youths. I mean, it is amazing how many athletes do good works and they are not getting the tax break that corporations do. They're just taking it right out of their own pockets.
That's exactly right. And I, like you said, I don't think enough is said about those that do that. I know LeBron has done great work in starting a school, and, you know, just the way that he gives back and uses his voice. And really, you know, he's about action, which is what I really appreciate. He's not just somebody, you know, just tweeting things that there's not any substance behind them. You know, he's, like you said, he's an activist. And when he sees something, he's very aware, very alert to many, many things that are going on. So I have a great appreciation. And it's not just LeBron. I mean, like you said, there are just so many athletes, and we talk about someone like Colin Kaepernick, who basically gave up a career, to better our society. And yeah, I mean, it's a flawed system, as we know. It's built on greed, but we're gonna stay on what we're thankful for and not delve into.
We'll get back into that next week.
Yeah, we can get back into that next week. But you know, and I'm really, it leads me to. You know, on the sports landscape, to owners like ours, like a Glenn Taylor, who is so supportive of women, women in sports. And I think he's evolved through the years. I know that, you know, maybe it wasn't always this way, but his commitment to the WNBA, his not only his, you know, but someone like Ted Leonsis in Washington, Joe Tsai, new ownership in New York. These are people that are going to pave the way for exactly what you just said. There's going to come a time where women are going to get their due, and you know, we can feel that wave. I'm sure that if you were around in the 80s for the NBA and you saw where it was then. Bill Laimbeer talks a lot about this. He feels like 10 years ago the WNBA was where the NBA was in the 80s, not just in terms of style of play, but also the ways in which we economically manage things. They were not chartering in the 80s. They were commercial flying. They mm-hmm. had just one assistant coach, and but you could feel sort of the sea of change, and you know, diversity and inclusion, and you know, is it encompasses so much. It's not you know, just kind of one sector. There's just so many ways, and I think about the NBA and its efforts in diversity and inclusion and some of their hiring practices and the report cards that they get, but also with regard to women. And I think it's going to be owners like Glenn Taylor, Ted Leonsis, Joe Tsai that can help, I think, catapult the idea of diversity and inclusion for women's sports and where the WNBA can go. And so without their leadership and their commitment financially, you know, I think that, you know, that's something we should all be thankful for. There are only 12 WNBA teams, and Glenn Taylor has been so committed, and it has been so meaningful, I believe, to the state of Minnesota for girls and boys, you know, to empower women the way that Glenn Taylor has in his ownership of the Minnesota Lynx.
More thoughts on the WNBA coming up. We do want to highlight some other good works. Gloria Ramsey from SuccessfulMarketingGroup.com has been sponsoring the program for a long time, and we're closing in on one of her great annual ventures. It is the Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive. It will be virtual, of course, Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. Jana Shortle and Cheryl will be hosting. They will bring on other surprise guests. So you can probably guess that she's going to have some great people on here. This is the third year producing a live show for the fundraiser. I really had a great time when I was part of this a couple of years ago. Stay tuned. We're going to have more information coming out on our social media. This is a good reason to follow us at Talk North Pod on Twitter. This is one of the many places we will try to let you know what's going on, let you know how you can get tickets, how you can participate, how you can contribute winter clothing to people who really need it. So again, thanks to Gloria Ramsey, SuccessfulMarketingGroup.com. Of course, if you need marketing help, that is the place to go. But right now we're emphasizing the Homeless Youth Winter Wear Drive. It's a great event and just a great thing to be a part of. Thank you, Glory, for doing all of that. So, you know, so LeBron has a lot of money. He spends a lot of money. He spends a lot of his time doing good work. And then you have the WNBA players who, you know, maybe this year more than ever, we just saw how strong, how resolved they are to do what's right, to fight for social justice, regardless of what's going on. They don't make the big bucks. They have the onus upon them to promote women's basketball, women's sports as they are playing those sports. It's a lot to heap on people, and the WNBA players seem to handle it incredibly well.
Yeah, I would agree. I think what took it to another level, I believe, I think the players have always been aware and have wanted to use their voices. But I think that the big step was the empowerment from the highest office and the commissioner, and being able to collaborate with the Players Association and dedicate the entire season to social justice reform. And I think that empowerment, you know, is what I think brought it to the great level that we saw this summer. And so I give Kathy Engelbert a lot of credit. You know, we've had past presidents who maybe quietly might support it, but, you know, there's the tiptoeing, you know, as you mentioned, women's sports oftentimes, you know, the marginalization of women in general, but then women in sport is a whole nother level. You know, the idea that, you know, you have to be careful what you say, what you do, how you look for fear of maybe alienating sponsors. That's been our life for a very, very long time. Don't do this, don't do that, don't say that. And so now I think we're in a time that, you know, I know that Carly Knox, the vice president of business operations for the Lynx, you know, we talk about, these are things that we've been saying for years. I mean, where I've been in WNBA for 20 years, and we have been rattling the cage, so to speak, of, you know, the inequities that exist for women of color. We've seen it. We see how we're treated, and it's been a long, long time. So these are things that are now front and center, that there is far more acknowledgement. There's far more recognition for those that are in positions of power. And so I think that very wisely, Kathy Engelbert, though I'm sure there is a bit of caution or maybe a leap of faith that, you know, you're cautiously optimistic about how these things are received. But I've always said this, you know, the sacrifice doesn't come without, you know, it requires courage. It doesn't come without sacrifice. And so I think that, the ways in which that she has amplified the league is going to pay dividends, I think, not only for the investment by the players and how they feel about the league that they're playing for, but I also think that you're going to see it's going to resonate with sponsors. You know, this is the world now. I think that the corporate world, you know, we've talked about this on this show, that women's sports gets in less than 5% of the global marketing dollars. That is an untapped world, and I think that diversity and inclusion is going to be a big part of the commitment and the growth, I think, economically for our league. And I think that you're going to find that the 2020 season is going to be probably a big reason that we were able to be front and center and move this forward.
I have a follow-up thought on that. I do want to thank sponsor Cara Quinn, C-A-R-A-Q-U-I-N-N. You can find her at vibemn.com, Vibe Realty. Just Google Vibe Realty or Google Cara Quinn, and you'll see her name everywhere you find quality realtors. And, you know, this is another really good-hearted person. She's not only good at what she does, she's a tremendously good-hearted person. She fits in perfectly with what we're trying to do here with this show. So I'm going to read you a note that Cara has up on her website. I know this Thanksgiving will be tough for many of us who won't be spending it with family and friends, but there are so many ways we can lift our spirits by helping others, especially those hit hardest. One such way is by supporting our local small business and restaurants and those who work for them. Read on to check out our curated guide to shopping local, browse our newest neighborhood guide to Nokomis and its amazing shops and eateries, and learn how you can contribute to our annual fund drive to end domestic violence. So that's what Cara's about, and you can find all that at vibemn.com. Again, Google Vibe Realty, Google Cara Quinn, you will find this. They also have a small business Saturday coming up where they pay homage to local businesses. And of course, they have listings of a lot of cool houses, especially in Minneapolis neighborhoods that Cara knows so well. So thank you to Cara for all that. What does it mean? I know we touched on this, but it just feels like something I don't want to ever underplay. Now that we are discovering that votes count and elections actually matter, and you can't just say, I'm not going to leave the White House because I don't feel like it. Kamala Harris is going to be vice president. What does it mean to you to see her in that role?
Well, I mean, it's the magnitude is unbelievable. You know, that there's, you know, I guess so many torches, I think, that she'll walk into the White House with carrying, you know, not only for women to hold. This is the highest office that a woman's ever held, but also obviously for women of color specifically. You know, when I think about Black women, you know, in my life, and you know what it felt like for that victory. So you know, it's powerful. It is going to change when I think about young girls and young, you know, girls of color. I cannot stress enough that the notion of that when you can see it, you can be it, and the ability to dream, you know, that you can be anything. And hopefully soon, we'll also know that that a woman or a woman of color could be the president of the United States. So it is powerful and incredibly exciting. And you know, I didn't allow myself to celebrate, you know, or get excited at all. Let's say that in the hours and even in the days following the election, because you just hold your breath because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like the idea of women being elevated into these roles, and you don't know what lengths people will go to try to avoid that. You know, we saw that in Hillary Clinton's candidacy, despite you know, her winning the popular vote, which was really encouraging for our country. You know, these are just massive steps, and we're never turning back. That's the thing. I think, look at the cabinet that Joe Biden is putting together, and you know, it's just incredible to see the diversity. And like I said, once we go here and we have the courage to go here and do these things, you don't go back. And that's what's really incredible for the overall growth of our country, making the world a better place.
And what really struck me throughout the campaign and continues to strike me is, and it she kind of reminds me of a WNBA player in that there is a fierceness and an openness and an understanding that an acknowledgement that no matter how many people out there might hate her for the color of her skin or her gender, she never looks burdened by it, even though you've got to be. And she never looks burdened. I mean, there was just a confidence and a fierceness about her, you know, that you could see the way she walks, the way she interacts with people, the way she's not afraid to dance in public. She's not afraid to high step in public. I mean, that is, it was just fabulous to see.
Yeah. You know, be yourself. And I think that's what Kamala Harris did. I am sure that, you know, as you get behind the scenes and you're campaigning for, you know, the presidential ticket, you know, to be on the presidential ticket, I'm sure that there were many, many people that might have advised her on certain ways to act, to be more likable for the general public. You know, I remember Michelle Obama, you know, sort of, you know, being, telling the story about, I don't know if it was, David Axelrod. I don't remember who did this, but, had Michelle put the TV on mute while watching her, you know, give a talk somewhere. And the point was, she looked too angry. She was too forceful. She was too, whatever, and that she needed to change that, so that she could be more likable. And so yes, women for years, we have been told, you know, that if you're too aggressive, you know, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And, you know, that you have to be a certain likable, you have to look a certain way, you know, walk a certain way, those things that you said, you know, don't be overconfident. And Kamala Harris was unapologetic, and she was herself. And that's one of the greatest lessons, is being yourself, I think, is the most important thing that a person can do. You know, again, it empowers, so many people that you yourself is perfect. That's what you need to be. And don't change for anybody. And that's what I think we saw. And I agree, because I was worried, because, you know, the Kamala Harris that we've seen for years, she didn't change. And, you know, I know that politics sometimes can chew you up and spit you out, and you feel like you might have to do certain things to get where you want to go. But I love seeing, that she didn't, and she was accepted for exactly who she is. And that's a wonderful thing for our country.
I still see memes, insulting Michelle Obama, you know, and of course I don't follow. If I see that on a social media feed, I stop following that person, but it's still out there, and we know where the hatred comes from. I think we also have to be encouraged that the people who are most in the crosshairs of the far right are also the most popular people in America. I mean, you look at any general survey, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, these people, you know, Oprah, you know, these people are the most popular people in America. So they do have support. It's just the hatred on the other side is so intense, it can turn your head.
Yeah, it became intense, hasn't it? You know, it's always been there, as we know, the underbelly, and you know, Trump, you know, kind of drudged all that up, and gave, you know, gave safe places for people to, like you said, have that intensity. But, you know, I think that this election, you know, the turnout was incredible. It's sad to me. I think that the number of people that did vote, for a person who stands for so many wrong things. But I said this before, that it's illuminating. And let's not, you know, let's not act as if we've changed all that much as a country. We haven't. There's many things, you know, racism and sexism that are being taught in homes, and you know, far more than what we're willing to admit to. And so I think the election showed us all that. And you know, but as you said, I think there's so many great things that are happening as well, and lots of things to celebrate. And you know, I resist a little bit, but Glenn Taylor, one of the things that he and I talked about, and we were talking some politics, that any step, you know, even baby steps, should be celebrated. You know, it's progress. That's hard for me, because as a woman, and as a person who, you know, is a leader to many women of color, being told that these things take time is one of the most painful things that you could say to us. You know, because centuries is a long time for racism. It's a long time for there to have been change. And obviously sexism, you know, would be along the same lines. And so when you say it takes time, it's maddening. But we are getting there, and we are grateful to the courage that someone like Kamala Harris possesses to be unapologetically Black, to be herself, you know, own all, you know, her culture, and unapologetically woman. So, you know, just stands for so many great things. And we have Michelle Obama to thank for so much, I think, of the courage of many Black women today.
Great stuff. We'll continue to talk about these things. We'll get back to some more basketball talk, roster construction, what the upcoming season might look like next week. I do want to say I'm thankful for everyone who listens to this show and the network. You know, this we started off very small and very slow, and it's been great people like Brandon and Cheryl who have helped us get to this point. If you like the show, tell somebody, spread the word for us, and we'll be back next week to continue saying thank you.